The Escape Plan, on Olivet, the prophecy of Jesus that ties together all other prophecies here on 153 Great Podcasts. In this episode, I want to talk about the structure of Matthew 24, which is paralleled in Luke 21 and Mark 13. In addition to that, I want to also speak about why the church is sleeping, why there is no meat in due season. So let's pray. Jesus, anoint our study today. I pray in Jesus' name, help us prepare and to be prepared for great tribulation. As stated previously in another episode, there are three groups of people the Olivet prophecy is directed towards: Jews, Gentiles, and the Acts 2:38 church. Of course, God wants to redeem and purify Israel, okay, to come into the Acts 2:38 church. He also wants to purify through tribulation the Acts 2:38 Gentile church. And finally, those who do not believe that Jesus is the Father, which includes Muslims and other groups of people, they are also going to suffer great tribulation, but for the purpose of judgment. First, we must acknowledge that this is a near-far prophecy. In other words, some of this prophecy did in fact apply to Jerusalem in AD 70. The temple was destroyed. However, this was not Jesus' focus. His focus was on the last day's church. Not one stone will be left upon another, signifying that the church denomination, the Acts 2:38 denominations, would fall because of compromise and because of the revelation of the Antichrist, who would enter into the Acts 2:38 church to take it down. Second, we must see that the structure of Matthew 24 is really a seven-part series. But before I reveal the seven segments, I want to say this, that the writers of the New Testament all provided meat to their churches. Milk was considered the fundamentals of the plan of salvation. Hebrews 6, 1-3, and first the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the foundation. After those things were taught, they immediately went to meat. We see this meat in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Peter, and the book of James. Every one of these members of the early apostolic church taught the Matthew 24 Olivet discourse. As a reinforcement and a supplement, Jesus gave the revelation to the Apostle John as the last book that we see in our New Testament, the incredible book of Revelation. I would like to note that the church of Thessalonica, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, was a church that was planted quickly by Paul. Paul tells them that they have not yet entered into great tribulation and gives them the two great signs, the falling away and the revealing of the Antichrist. Well, that tells us full proof that the church shall go through great tribulation. This is verified in the Olivet Discourse when Jesus says many false prophets shall arise. In fact, on YouTube, there are many, many, many false prophets. And these are the key things that they will say. One, that there will be a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem that the Antichrist will sit in. This will not happen, okay? The temple is the church of the living God. Two, they say there will be a Middle East peace agreement. There will never be a peace agreement between Muslims and Jews. There is a locust war prophesied in the Olivet Discourse. Number three, that a new world order from the United Nations will control Christians and the church and Jerusalem. That's not going to happen because the Bible clearly shows us that there will be a 10-corned confederation that will rise up here in the last days of the last days that we will soon see. Will it be a 10 federation of Muslims, Muslim nations, or will it be a 10 federation of European nations? We don't really know. Or will it be some sort of an alliance to take down Israel? We just do not know. So the point is that that's not the United Nations consisting of, I think, 184 nations. So this New World Order idea has been continually perpetrated by false prophets. And one other important item is the church being involved in politics. Politics divides. Love unites. How can the church practice love? If you're in politics, that means you're against somebody by nature. So let's think about what the scriptures say. First, we are not to take the counsel of the ungodly. The Acts 2:38 church should never be in league with people who do not believe that Jesus is the Father. Second, we're not to sit in the seat of the scornful. This means politics. We should not scorn anybody, but we are to preach the truth in love. We are to follow peace with all men, which is holiness. We are to love, little children, love. And he that loveth not knows not God. Politics is the sword of Constantine. We are to love our enemies. We are not to get handguns and rifles and shoot protesters and looters. Why? If somebody wants to steal your cloak, give them your coat also, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Or maybe it's vice versa. But either way, most of the protesting looters were between the ages of 10 and 15 years old in Minneapolis. Are you going to shoot a child for wanting to steal your stereo? Wouldn't it be wiser to have a different kind of plan? I don't know, maybe we should get a Doberman Pinscher or put some lights on the outside of our homes instead of hunkering down with guns ready to kill somebody. It's not the Christian way. We are to be peaceful and live a quiet life. And those of us who are hoarding food and MREs in our basement for the day of great tribulation, are you going to feed your neighbors? Do you have enough food to feed your neighbors? Do you love your neighbors as yourself? If you're the only one who's not losing weight during a great starvation, then everybody's going to come to your house. What are you going to do? Shoot them? Ignore their cries? It's not the Christian way either. Listen, the whole purpose of the Olivet Discourse was to provide the church with an escape plan. There is an escape plan in the Olivet Discourse. And in the last lesson in the series, we will teach that. And as Jesus foretold, the love of many will wax cold. And of course, that can also mean the love of the majority will wax cold because of the great falling away, because of politics, because of self-preservation, all the things that go against the Sermon on the Mount. Let me ask you a question. Is your love waxing cold? I have to ask myself that question. Am I looking to start a revolution, to be involved in politics, to hate my brother? That's the way of Cain. That's not the way of Jesus Christ. In discussing the seven segments, as I mentioned, I'm going to use Robert Gauvais' analysis from 1881. So let's begin with the first segment. We begin with Matthew 24, verses 4 through 6. The main themes here are false Christs, wars, and rumors. And next we'll go to verses 7 and 8, which are wars, famine, plagues or pestilences. And right now we have a worldwide pestilence or plague, COVID-19 and all the derivatives. 9 through 12, persecutions, falling away, false prophets. That's the next segment. Today we see the great falling away with church lockdowns, skinny fish who are not well discipled, who are codependent on a pastor to feed them every week, are falling away as social distancing, which has turned into psychological distancing, is in full bloom. And after this, because of turmoil and great chaos, which we are also seeing, a great persecution madness will break out against Christianity. Already people are pulling statues of Jesus down, although I'm not for making any image, as the Ten Commandments tells us. It shows the spirit of Antichrist that is infecting the chaos in our world. The apostles also instruct us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as we see the day approaching, meaning the day of Jesus' return, the rapture of the church. Going through great tribulation will require us to assemble, but it's going to be very difficult to hold corporate meetings with plague outbreaks that require social distancing and government regulation. We're going to have to adapt, church, as best as we can in this last of the last days. Segment 4 is found in verses 13 through 14 of Matthew 24. The eternal gospel will be preached. Let me tell you something. If the gospel was John 3:16, there would be no need for this verse in both Revelation and the Olivet Discourse. Also, accept Jesus as your personal Savior. If that was the gospel, there would be no need to have the eternal gospel preached in the end time. The eternal gospel being to be preached is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That is the foundation. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then you must believe that he is the Father manifest in flesh. Also, we are to repent and be baptized, every one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ, not titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And then we are to receive the Bible evidence of the Holy Spirit, Acts 10:46, speaking in tongues. This is the eternal gospel. And what's going to happen is that this eternal gospel will be preached both in Israel and throughout the world. And because of people's hatred for the name of Jesus' baptism, the name of Jesus Christ in baptism, because of that hatred, because it removes the sins and removes the devil's authority over someone's life, because of that hatred, the persecution, madness will advent. Now for the fifth segment, verses 15 through 22 of Matthew 24, we see that the key sign that we have entered into great tribulation is the revealing of the abomination of desolation, both the Antichrist and his image, which all will be required to worship. And of course, you'll have to take his mark to buy and sell. We never thought that we'd be forced to wear masks or to be vaccinated to shop at Costco, Walmart, or some of these other chain stores. But it's coming. We see that we're being bent into the will of government to force us to do what they've asked us to do and to forego freedoms. What will you do if you're required to buy and sell with a mark? Or you can't buy or sell unless you've been tested for COVID-19, or you haven't been authenticated by some sort of new currency. In the Daniel 11 and 12 prophecy, we see that the Antichrist image will stand in the holy place. But in the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 letter, Paul says that the Antichrist will sit in the holy place, meaning he will enter into the Acts 2:38 church as a leader. Compromise will occur, and his image will stand and will be required for worship and for buying and selling. The abomination of desolation tells us that we are to flee Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem, if it's compromised, we must flee from it. It's not just the literal city of Jerusalem that they must flee, but also the spiritual New Jerusalem if we see the compromise enter in. And we will have to be able to feed ourselves in the last of the last days. This is why it's so important to pray for your pastor that he would stand firm for truth as the great tribulation comes into our lives. In section 6, verses 23 through 28, we are warned by Jesus that there will be false prophets, false Christs, saying that Jesus has arrived and that he is already on the planet. And of course, Jesus refutes this and says that the eagles will be gathered over the carcass, meaning the rapture, as the lightning goes from the east to the west. That is the only sign that we are to accept that Jesus has returned, which is the rapture itself. We see a lot of so-called YouTube prophets, what I would call false Christians, who are on the television set. And on that television set, they're going to tell you all kinds of things. If you're interested, send me an email, and I will give you the names of these false prophets if you like. I'm not going to mention them right now because it would take too much time. But most of them will follow the writings of John Nelson Darby from the 18th century. One other thing. I'll give you the clue on how to determine if somebody is a false prophet who has the power to declare a lying sign and wonder. A lying sign and wonder is maybe a healing or a miracle or a spiritual manifestation, but no baptism in Jesus' name, no Acts 2:38 plan of salvation. This is the identity of a false prophet. Beware. No matter what you see, no matter what miracle is manifested, if it's not accompanied by Acts 2:38, it tells a lie. The whole purpose of signs, wonders, and miracles is to bring us to salvation. And salvation is only found in Acts chapter 2, verses 38. Verses 29 through 31 show something supernatural from outer space. The sun will be darkened. This is one of the key signs that did not happen during the destruction of Jerusalem. So we know that AD 70 was not the focus of the Olivet Discourse. So the sun will be darkened, the moon will be darkened. We see the rapture of the church, and we see that the last trumpet sounds, the church is gathered from one end of the earth to the other. And then, of course, the marriage supper of the Lamb proceeds, as we see in the book of Revelation. At the conclusion of the marriage supper of the Lamb comes the last segment, the day of wrath, which the church will not see, the vials of judgment, the woes that are poured out. These are the things that will destroy the planet, okay? And all the kingdoms, all the nations, all the United Nations will become the kingdoms of Jesus Christ. And he will rule with an absolute rule of iron, meaning no rebellion. Satan will be locked up for 1,000 years. A great chain will be put around his neck. He'll be put back into Tartarus where he cannot speak and deceive the nations for a while. And then, of course, we see in Revelation that he'll be loosed for a small season before the final judgment. The key is that great revival occurs, great persecution, and these are the two great events that happen during the Olivet Discourse. It's a paradox how persecution and revival can happen, but the persecution is designed to purify the church, and the revival is to restore Christianity to its pristine state. We know that Christianity has not been fully restored because chaos is reigning. Whenever worship is not ordered in spirit and in truth, chaos results, and we see worldwide chaos in every nation. Who would have thought that the divided states of America would occur? But it's occurring right now. And if the United States becomes unstable, what happens in the Middle East? What happens in Europe? What happens in the Pacific Rim? Listen, folks, a great, great disaster is about to be unleashed. Wars, pestilences, plagues, found and supported by Revelation chapter 6, 1 through 8, the Muslim hordes, the locusts that will be coming against Jerusalem, and of course, the persecution of the Acts 2:38 church. It's all going to happen in a short 3.5 year period. Are we prepared? Are we eating meat in our churches, or are we still stuck on these feel-good sermons, milk? You know, there's nothing wrong with milk if you haven't been saved, okay? We need the milk of the word to enter into salvation. But as Paul quickly instructed the Thessalonica church on what the Great Tribulation would be like, he did it within a few short weeks. What are our pastors and preachers teaching today? How to endure tribulation? How to find what the escape plan is? And the escape plan is clearly stated in the Matthew 24 Olivet Discourse. On the hill, far away, stood an old rugged cross, where he suffered and took shame for lost sinners slain. By the world, draws me to the Lamb of God to find God's glory. You've been listening to The Escape Plan on Olivet, a 153greatfish.com ministry. Please subscribe to our podcast and help us reach our world.